Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 157 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is JD Justin Davis. And we have the honor of having a man that, if he was a professional wrestler, he would be Chief Morley. He's everybody's favorite teacher and basketball coach, Coach Rosie.
I thought I was everyone's favorite teacher. God damn it.
I'll give you that. I've had that 7 years out of my career, so I'll give you your first. Congratulations, buddy. You're everybody's favorite. One-time winner. I'm going to reach that Ric Flair level by the time I retire, pal.
Well, the way he's going, he's getting back in the ring now anyways and wrestling Jay Lethal. So who the hell knows at this point?
Well, is he?
That's what you didn't see that?
He's been practicing against him.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the Scuttlebutt Online says.
Speaking of online Scuttlebutt, I saw my boy the Hitman signed a little WWE deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention that before.
Yeah, I got one word for that deal. Mid.
Oh man, when you think it, you think
are they trying
all,
to steal him from AEW? So we're not going to see him at Double or Nothing.
Probably not. So.
You're not going to see him part of FTR now, allegedly.
Shattered me and Amy Vaughn's dreams.
Yeah, all at once. You get killed two birds with one stone, literally. But no, this week, Justin, we got WrestleMania 19, one of the, I guess we could call it one of the more underrated WrestleManias. We came off of Christ of shit we saw last week with WrestleMania 11. This has got to be better. And
I don't know if it's underrated. I would say it's
properly rated. It's rated. Well, let me put it this way. It's better than WrestleMania 11. That's for damn sure.
Well, there's no question there.
But
according to Tony Chimmel, it was the largest crowd in whatever he made that announcement, and the attendance was 54,097. That's a beautiful stadium at Safeco. It's right on the bay. Mm-hmm. It's open air. I mean, if you were there, it was probably a magical night. Watching it on TV, it was decent.
Well, even 2003, it was a fairly new stadium too for the Mariners too. So I think this was the one of the first stadiums shows that they did.
We're right in the middle of Ichiro Mania in Seattle at that time.
Yeah, it's when Seattle. Well, Ichiro was like a legend in Seattle. Well, and Japan, obviously, but yeah, this is this is real in the heart of, you know, we're coming off of that whole invasion angle that's finally cease and desist. We're in 2003. They're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as the WCW, still seeing a lot of the tailing over here. But for the most part, it's got a lot of tailing on this card.
It's star-studded. I didn't count the Hall of Famers, but I would definitely say it's over six or seven.
Right.
Hall of Famers on this card.
But another future Hall of Famer is Mr. Rich Paludino, so let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
So the first match on this card, guys, is Matt Hardy taking on Rey Mysterio, putting his WWE Cruiserweight Championship on the line. Dude, at this time, Matt Hardy is your Cruiserweight Champion?
They said at the beginning of the match that he made it by like 1 pound or something, like he qualified.
Because I think it was like at this point, it was like 220. They upped it just for him. Because originally it was always 200 or 205 or something. And then now it's like 220. It's like, okay, I always thought my recollection, whether it was WCW or WWE, cruiserweights or light heavyweights were always 205 or 200. Now it's 220. So, okay, let's give Matt Hardy something to do.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Shannon Moore?
I think, dude, I always thought Shannon was a great talent in the right system. I don't think that WWE gave him his just due. Once we saw him later in TNA when he was Inc. with James Neal, then we really started to see his good shit. He was part of Three Count there with Shane Helms and Tony Schiavone's favorite wrestler, Evan Courageous.
I just don't think you can be a tough guy in wrestling with the first name as Shannon.
Wait, not everybody could be called Brett, obviously, or Justin. So
speaking of that, this was a nice little match, nice little opener. They do the Brett Owen finish from WrestleMania 10.
Mm-hmm. Bottom rope style.
Yeah.
Right.
Then that match is over, and we get a goddamn stupid cat fight girl spot in the back.
We got a question here, though. I want to address this for Devin Dowling. He wanted to know. I'm gonna try something new. When we got guests on, Justin, I'm gonna get the questions into the where the matches are.
Yeah.
So we can actually pay attention to the match when we watch it later. But he wanted to know too: is this Matt Hardy version one the best version of Matt Hardy, or are we thinking that like, you know, Hardy Boys or Broken Matt Hardy is the best version?
I think I'm still waiting on the best version.
You think so?
I think
I know it's a joke, but you honestly believe that?
I don't know. I've never been a huge Matt Hardy fan. I know I'll probably catch heat for that again. All you motherfuckers, leave me out of your DMs.
I'll make sure to DM Michael McClanahan to let him know.
He's the king of cold takes.
Well, you see his latest one?
Oh.
Yeah, about Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka? I'm like, Jesus Christ. How could you talk about movies when you weren't even a glimmer in your parents' eyes?
This is why he's not allowed to review movies. It's in the rules.
I muted him.
He's also said today that he's never seen Goodfellas. Like, what in the hell?
But see, I'm pretty sure. Was it Devin Dowling that never saw
Jameson?
Oh, God damn. I'm just gonna ignore that. Anyways, so wasn't it Devin Dowling that never saw
Jenna Jameson? Edit this out.
No, it's staying in. It's staying in. I'm not editing that shit out. But wasn't it Devin Dowling, Justin, that never
know who she is?
Wasn't it Devin Dowling too that never watched Seinfeld or something?
I know that Money Mike hasn't, and I've given him homework to watch it, and he has been watching a few episodes. He enjoyed the bet episode when everyone tries not to masturbate. Which it's probably
Money Mike.
I'd say that episode's really about his life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Money Mike, go on Twitter, and here's a question for you, Money Mike, after you hear this show. Who's hotter? We already know your answer, but I'll say Charlotte or Sable. And who would win in a cat fight? A real Sable style cat fight. Who would win between Charlotte and Sable?
Well, Charlotte would have to fix
ringside
her bra.
Rant and let us know.
I think we all win in that situation.
Good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So this, we get a damn cat. I don't even remember the cat fight girls. Who the hell are these people?
These are the Miller Lite cat fight girls. Wasn't it the Super Bowl commercial? Right?
Wasn't it the Super Bowl commercial
that they did it on, that they debuted it on? I could have sworn it was a Super Bowl commercial from
Coors Light Twins. But I don't remember the Catfight Girls.
Maybe we could get those Catfight Girls at Top Guy Weekend.
And then what do we have after that? More fucking Lip Biscuit? Like, didn't we have enough of this at 17 or whatever we watched a couple weeks ago? 17? And now we got more Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, it was 17.
I got a question for you. Who did Limp Bizkit ever beat?
Their own biscuit, I'd
Blue
say.
Blue Chew?
So then I guess they sing Taker out in his American badass gimmick or whatever, and that's our second match of the show, Taker versus A-Train and Big Show in a handicap match because they took out, what's his name?
Nathan Jones.
Who I didn't remember Nathan Jones at all.
Well, I got a sound system in my man cave, and with Limp Bizkit, I like Limp Bizkit. I mean,
Of course you would.
They're good. So I was blasting it in my surround sound. The crowd was dead. But when The Undertaker came out with that motorcycle,
yeah,
man, that blew the roof off of that. Mm-hmm. It just, boom, that shit popped. But the Limp Bizkit, dead.
And who was our referee in this match? The great Brian Hebner.
And he does more than Definitely. He does another great match on this card too. We'll get to in a little bit. But they keep on recapping this fucking Catfight Girls. I don't get it. I know they're trying to.
Yeah, another backstage spot with the Catfight Girls after this match.
I don't even think Miller Lite was a sponsor, were they?
I don't know.
Wasn't that his beer, Miller Lite?
Oh, that was, yeah. That was probably, yeah, but.
We need to get Miller Lite as a sponsor, RJ. Dude, hook us up. Hook a brother up.
I preferred Old English.
Hey, we're not talking about your autobiography.
So, I think, do you teach English or what do you teach?
I'm a reading specialist. So I create pictures in the student's mind. I teach them how to really get comprehension and meaning out of what they read.
There you go. You need to teach RJ. Have you ever listened to RJ read the questions on here?
I really hope that's not true. I really hope because the youth of America, and especially in the state of Arizona, no wonder they're not the smartest in Arizona.
Well,
because you got Coach Rosie there trying to teach him to read. Or comprehend, or reading, whatever. I gotta comprehend
I'll tell you this, pal. None of my students work at Cintas.
I don't give a shit. Cintas pays me very well for me doing whatever the hell I do. So,
fuck Cintas. It works, man. You know why I hate Cintas?
Because I work there.
Because they are the name on the basketball arena that homes that evil. Terrible school that is known as Xavier University, the Cintas Center.
So I always wanted to know why is a Xavier? You think it would spell when I first heard Xavier, I thought it was a Z, right?
You need to go to Coach Rosie. You would have known that if you'd been in his class.
Yep, that's comics, baby.
but he would have failed me by now.
Now, hey, wait. Let's just go over that real quick. That sound, is that a Greek? A Latin or a Spanish root? Because that's Xavier? What we teach the kids.
Xavier?
No, the root of the word. Go over the root of the word. Let me hear what, I mean, Xavier. Is that a Latin root, a Greek root, or a Spanish root?
I'm going Latin.
I'm going Greek.
Latin is correct.
Damn it.
Keep tossing rugs.
When the hell am I ever going to need that? Come on. Besides
you need
this
it right now,
I'm gonna say besides this time right now. So we're gonna see a triple threat match for the women's title. Trish Stratus taking on Victoria, who is your champion, as well as Jazz. This was a lot better than I remember to be honest with you. It's a little bit longer too. It's a little over 7 minutes long, and it goes to show you how these three women really paved the way for the women of today. Your Becky Lynch's, your Sasha's, your Charlotte's, and of course the DMD herself, Dr. Britt Baker. So what did you guys think of this match? Because I took away from it is they did not use Jazz as well as they should have.
All she has to do is get in the ring with me and they've used her well.
So, okay. So side note, who do you think would Tony Schiavone want to tussle with, Jazz or China?
Lois.
Who would win in a match? Lois, Jazz, or China?
Lois wins every time. I mean, she I wouldn't fuck with Lois. There ain't no way in hell.
That's why they got a shirt. Lois Rules. And get that at LoisRules.com and go see go to what happens what happened when? Monday.
You know how sometimes that old crotchety motherfucker Tony Schiavone, he just seems like a defeated, beaten man. That's because he is. I think Lois probably just beats him. Yeah.
Without question. So what did you guys think of the Stevie Richards and the Victoria combination? It seemed to work fairly well for both of them. Gives Stevie something to do. Gives him a WrestleMania payday. And a lot of these, like I said, Victoria is in the same category as Jazz as far as being underrated. Two of the women that rightfully deserve to be in the Hall of Fame for the WWE. In my eyes, anyways. But what did you think of that combination between Stevie and Victoria there?
I don't know.
I didn't even catch him in the match until he came in at the end with that chair to try to hit Trish. I mean, but other than that, I was focused on the girls in the ring.
Because I know he came out with her originally and kind of tried to put her over and stuff with the championship, but. You know, I even thought Devin comes back here was another question saying that is this the best women's title match at a WrestleMania until Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte? I would think so because there really hasn't been, you know, any other women's matches that you could really write home about to say that there were decent matches.
I thought both the women's titles matches this year at WrestleMania were fantastic.
Yeah, well, I was going to say any of the Bianca Belair matches the last 2 years, but are they asking for a triple threat? Or, I mean, if anyone
well, thing, he just says, is anyone? Well, he just says, is this match on this WrestleMania the best women's title match at a WrestleMania until the triple threat with Becky and Ronda and Charlotte?
Yeah. I honestly wasn't super impressed with this match. I mean, it was fine for what it was.
Yeah.
But to me, I was just like,
I had an interesting thought. Victoria's finisher was called the Widow's Peak. Mm-hmm. I wonder how she came up with that name. Because I tried it. Like, a Widow's Peak is, isn't that something messed up on your face?
It's your hair.
No, it's your hair. RJ wouldn't know. I'm surprised he knows what one is since his went away a long time.
So why would Victoria have that name as her finisher?
I don't know.
That just got me thinking. I guess I went down a rabbit hole of thoughts, but, you know, yeah, I wonder what it's one of those unknown questions. Money Mike, check it out. Devin, check it out. Ed, check it out. Get that answer for us. Why do they call it the Widow's Peak? Hit us up on at Ringside Rant.
Man, he giving everybody homework. I guess that's the teacher. Jeez.
Just trying to get you guys some traffic, Jack.
Homework on a weekend. What an ass.
So interesting side note. I just saw this online. They have Twinkie iced lattes in bottles now.
Oh, speaking of that, I saw that you got the Little Debbie ice cream.
I have not had anything. I had them yet.
Yeah. I haven't. Mm-mm. I've tried.
I haven't tried them yet, I should say. They're still in the freezer. I'm actually going to try some after I get off recording here. It's the Swiss cake and
oatmeal pie.
Oatmeal pie.
Or oatmeal, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to report back next week on these because I am curious.
Oh, without question. And I think because I've been looking at him forever. I've been telling my wife to go when she goes to Walmart to get groceries or whatever. I said, hey, can you at least check them? Because I think she's like, yeah, there was those two. And then there was
strawberry shortcake. I want to try that one.
Strawberry shortcake that was there. And then they had a slot for the Nutty Buddy, but there wasn't anything in there. She said, I guess they're coming out. They're out of it. So
I did listen to Casio and Big Booty Judy's
review.
That was good. Yeah. Well, anything.
And you can find that at YouTube at Casio Cuts.
That's right.
We promote other shows. So speaking of promote, we got Rocky here with a nice little promo with Coachman. It's nice to go back and watch these pay-per-views and see guys like Austin, see like guys like Rock, more so Rock, and cutting these promos, because that's something that's desperately, desperately needed in WWE right now. Somebody that can cut a promo while like The Rock and back it up in the ring as well. Because I don't think there's really anybody there now in the company that can do it.
Kevin Owens isn't bad. There's some guys I feel like.
I like Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah.
But and I like Roman too. I love it when he says acknowledge me.
That's what Coach is going to be saying to Mrs. Coach later.
And she won't.
But the sad part is, I don't know if never mind. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm sure she's a lovely woman that I'm sure he's definitely outkicked his coverage.
Well, she's got to be a little off her rocker to marry his ass in the first place, but that's a whole nother issue.
Well, true. And he's got what, three kids, four kids now? Five
that
kids?
He knows of. Three.
Three kids, three kids, two boys, one dad, three shared characteristics that match with Batista. That's the Rosenbaum way.
That's a t-shirt. That's a t-shirt, man. You got to start making those shirts, man.
I'm a salesman.
There you go. When you start selling those mortgages, a t-shirt comes with each sale. I got to transition to wrestling then, because this is going to go way off the rocker. So this is going to be the next match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Triple threat match. Meltzer gave it 3 stars, so you know it's good. We got Team Angle as coming in as your champion. Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, taking on Los Guerreros, Eddie and Chavo, and as well as Chris Benoit and Rhino. So
that's a weird tag team, Benoit and Rhino.
That's what I thought too, but also keep in mind, Benoit and Rhino are coming off neck surgeries. So it's interesting to see one, then, like you said, Justin, seeing them together, because they have the history. They worked a little bit there in ECW at the same time, but they don't have as much chemistry as like a Team Angle with Benjamin and Haas and the Guerreros. So it's interesting pairing, because it's like, okay, one of these is not like the other, but they made it work.
Yeah. Anyone can tag anyone in this match. Eddie and Chavo are in their green, which I always love.
That Eddie's grave.
That's Eddie's grave site in Scottsdale, Arizona. I go there and lay flowers. It used to have Vicky's picture and a little plate ready for her, but that was removed. Usually we leave some paraphernalia, a Modelo's, some fuzzy dice, but I cleaned it up this time. Rest in peace, Eddie. We love you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Eddie and Chavo, I was kind of hoping that they would win this match, but Team Angle retains on what was a pretty good match, I felt like.
Yeah. So keep in mind too, this is 2003. In another year, Eddie and Benoit are going to be heavyweight champions.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you that a year can do a hell of a lot for wrestlers, if given the right push, that you keep your nose down, keep your head down, and work your ass off, because you never know who's going to be next. You know, next year we could have Sami Zayn as the fucking WWE champion. I doubt
I'm,
it.
I'm hoping Gilbert comes back and takes the title.
Oh God, I would love that to happen. Him and him, him and the Brooklyn Brawler can main event WrestleMania.
There you go.
Or the guy really good.
Hey, I bet it would have been better in WrestleMania 11 if they did.
Now, I did some research by looking at some of the dirt sheets before this, and I don't know who reported this, but it said that they had to cut time from this match because they went over in some of the early matches. So just imagine if they gave it a couple more minutes. I mean, they cut it short, and it was still a great match.
Yeah, because this – I'm surprised that they cut this one, because I would have thought that the Jericho and Michaels match would have went long. And this is that – and that's the next match after this.
Well, I'll tell you what did go long. Just like in WrestleMania, what was it that we were watching? Where Shawn came out and took forever to get to, and he wasn't even wrestling.
13.
Yeah.
For the main event.
Shawn is in his red and black here, and an extremely long entrance once again. Like, why can't Shawn just walk to the fucking ring?
But in his defense, because anytime I can defend Shawn Michaels with you on the line, Justin, I will want to do that each and every time. For his defense, this aisle was pretty fucking long.
Well, yeah, but it's all the shit after he got to the ring, too.
True.
Jericho is in his baby blue, which is kind of rare for him. I didn't hate this match. I liked the Jericho does the Shawn pose, and Shawn gets a comeback after that. Mr. Charles Robinson is our third man in the ring.
With a new do.
Yeah.
The guy from Night Court?
Yes, the guy from Night Court. And we got Bull on here with us, too.
Boom.
That's RJ. He looks like Bull.
No, I forgot that was Pauly B.
Yeah, it is kind of Pauly B. Jericho does a double underhook backbreaker, which you don't see too often.
You don't see that often anymore.
Jericho hits a sweet chin music. Chris Jericho then kicks out of a very good sweet chin music from Shawn. HBK wins with a backwards roll up. Kind of a weird way for Shawn to win.
Yeah.
Sneaky. I said it was sneaky.
Yeah. Great match, though. And, you know, I don't say that very often with that douchebag in the ring, but it was.
Don't call Charles Robinson a douchebag.
And at least Chris Jericho kicks Shawn in the nuts before Shawn can pose the match.
But see, that's the thing. When even in a loss, Jericho still got over, because he still got over as a dastardly heel. And this was each incarnation of Jericho was good. He reinvents himself time and time again. This is that, I guess we could call him the highlight reel of Jericho, because this is when he was doing the show and all that stuff. But I thought it was a great match. Meltzer did too. He gave it four and a quarter stars. So you see Jericho getting out of here and flicking off the crowd, which is definitely a heelish trait, which is great to see. But and speaking of heelish traits, Limp Bizkit is out again.
They're out again.
God. And again, and as well as the Catfight Girls.
Yeah. This is when I started banging my head against the table.
And it's just like,
they also announced that, as Coach had referred to earlier, Safeco Field attendance record at over 54,000 people. And now Coach intros us to our fucking catfight match.
Wait, I got a question before that. This is somebody I never knew. They had an interview in Mr. McMahon's office with somebody named Sylvain Grinier. Who the hell was that?
Sylvain Grinier.
He was the French referee, right?
Right. He was the referee.
I don't remember him.
I don't either.
He was part of La Resistance with him and Rene Dupree at this time on Raw. I was trying to remember. I'm pretty sure Renee was either hurt or something, so that's why he was over on SmackDown. Or they did, no, you know what it was? It was the draft. They split him up. They put him on different brands.
That's probably what Coach is going to get from his wife later. La Resistance.
Hey, all I know at the end of next match is Coach's pants get dropped.
This is true.
Yeah. So Coach Coach got it in the next match, so just be prepared. That was a 7-star Tokyo Dome match, right, coming up.
So, yeah, they bring
more
out
ways than one.
They bring out these Miller Lite catfight girls, Tanya and Katana Baker. But anyone named Katana is automatically fucking hot. That's just a rule. Like, what was that one chick, Coach? You're old. In that 80s music video, Katana of something. Like that White Snake video.
Christy Katana?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Yeah, she's on the front of that car. Yeah, with the big poofy blonde wavy hair.
Yeah.
You can catch her at a truck stop strip club in Albuquerque, New Mexico every Friday night nowadays.
I believe that lady actually also married pitcher Chuck Finley.
Yes. Yes.
My girl was Kelly LeBrock. Man, she got the motor running for me, boy.
Well, speaking of motors and running, we have Stacy Keebler come out in her
Tawny
legs. Yeah, that's it.
Tane. There you go.
Then Tori Wilson comes out.
And let me say, fuck you, Billy Kidman.
They de-pants Coach and pin him. Like, how is that a thing? Like, Coach isn't even in the fucking match. How does he get pinned?
Why is he even out there?
I mean,
he won in the long term because he got pinned by Stacy Keebler.
Stacy Keebler put a digit up his butthole, I think, when she pinned him.
That's four.
Even better.
So
there's a question there that I really don't want to ask, but we can move on.
Our next match is Triple H versus Booker T.
So
this was a very racial match. I found
it was
kind of the white and black thing in this.
But they play that up as if you listen, who was doing the show? I was listening to something. It might have been an old Bruce show I did in preparation for this. And he was talking about it. It's like, yeah, he was kind of like, this isn't going to be good trying to figure this out later on. And nowadays, yeah. It's like, yeah, that's something you can't get away with now, clearly. But
hell no.
It's just Triple H getting that cheap heat, I thought.
Triple H comes out in purple, which I always love him in that purple. I think that's a Harley Race callback. Mm-hmm. Booker T is in his white, and Nick Patrick is our referee, who's very bossy in this match. I felt like Triple H put on an Indian deathlock, and JR loses his shit about it. He's like, god damn, I ain't seen that in decades. No one does an Indian deathlock anymore. Like, he was putting Triple H over huge for it. Mm-hmm. Triple H,
I'll make a controversial statement. Triple H is not even in my top 20 all time. I never liked Triple H. His intro was great, but I never liked his personality. I always thought he was acting fake.
I always knew me and Coach were friends. See, that's a reason right there, because he's not in my damn top 20 either.
Yeah. He never Triple did
H,
it for me.
Triple H does win with the pedigree. And I actually ranked this. What did Meltzer give it? Because I actually wrote down what I gave this match.
He gave it, let me look here. I got to go back up. 3.25 stars.
I gave it 2 stars.
I gave it 3. So me and old Uncle Dave were about on the same.
I would have given it at least a 3. Yeah. But it's just, the ending was a bit non-dramatic. It's like, okay, you're building, and then you kind of just go, pfft. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, what the hell happened with this shit?
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of what's going on with this shit, we got Hulk Hogan taking on Vince McMahon in a street fight here.
Another question. Yeah. Why does Hogan come out to that fucking awful weird music that he came out to?
Because it's the dubbed for on the network. Because he came out to something different. I think he came out to Voodoo Child.
But he's in the red and yellow here, right?
Yes.
Why doesn't he come out to Real American?
At this time, I don't know why, because I think they're still trying, because it was WrestleMania, they're trying to build it up with something else where this was, he wasn't Hollywood Hogan here, was he? He was just regular Hulk Hogan.
He's Hulk Hogan. And like,
that's the only thing I could think of.
I mean, Real American is a jam, bro. I love Real American. I don't know why they wouldn't play that.
Right.
McMahon juices like crazy.
Dude, he's bleeding fucking buckets too.
Yeah.
Well, there were so many unprotected chair shots in this match that would not fly today. McMahon took them. Hogan took them. I mean, there were low blows. This was a rough match for two old bastards.
So, yep. But I will give McMahon credit where it's due. Is that fucking leg drop off the top of the ladder through the announce table on Hogan? Dude, mm-hmm. we even saw the fucking announcer get color, Hugo Seminovich. He's coming up after a chair shot to the head.
God damn, not Hugo. He's got a family.
He's broken in half. He's dead, I swear.
Is this the match that caused Brian Hebner's career to end for him stepping in and stopping Vince with the pipe? I mean, was this one of his last matches?
He was in the company for another 3 years after this.
Oh, I don't know the years. All I know is that he deceived his boss. You know, he should have let Vince hit him with the pipe. He should be a company man.
Yeah.
Brian Hebner reacts to that at reffing it up.
Piper makes
that's
a
all
run
I
in.
Need.
Piper makes a cool run in this match. Ends up hitting Hogan with the pipe. Yeah.
I loved it. I
Big
loved
pop.
It. Because if you know any, all three of us grew up with that stuff, man. Any type of Piper stuff, any type of Hogan stuff, Macho, all that stuff from that era. It was interesting to see him, how he came in too. He's kind of sneaking in because I'm pretty sure that they basically told him the day of, asked him to come in.
Yeah, I think they kept him hidden from everybody too.
Well, no, but they even talked to him like the day of though. I'm not saying this wasn't planned. This was like the day of.
Speaking of Brian Hebner, you're going to have to call him out on this bullshit. Brian Hebner gets thrown out of the ring by Vince. But Vince had to do it twice because Hebner didn't get over the first time.
I saw that too. I'm like, oh, Justin's going to fucking lay into me for this shit. And he didn't get enough air to go over the top rope.
No. Like, what the hell? Those damn Hebners. There's just no athleticism in them. Hogan wins.
So Justin is the most athletic. He is at JD 2040. If you want to talk to him about being agile,
you tell that son of a bitch, Brian Hebner, that I could have got my ass over the rope the first time. Now, Hogan wins after three leg drops. And the music ruins the entire damn thing for me.
And now it did to me too. But see, that's the problem when you get in. I just want a fucking company to buy this bullshit so we can actually hear the real music. So there's this bullshit with this, and then with Jericho, you hear any of his WCW stuff, you break the walls down. I don't want to hear that
And Rick Rude's music they mess with, too.
Right. Yes, Josh.
Here's one thing I loved. Vince got beat. He picked his head up and gave him the bird. That's Vince McMahon. That's toughness.
Yeah,
that's going the extra mile. He said, I might have got beat, but take it, pal.
Yeah. And then we see Shane come out and pick up his father, which I thought was interesting because they just coming in 2 years after that, 2 years before, they're beating the shit out of each other at WrestleMania. So I guess we could consider this the semi-main event after this, gentlemen. We got The Rock taking on Stone Cold Steve Austin. This has been building for years, guys. This is probably one of the best rivalries in this era. This is going to be the culmination of their trilogy. Was this your favorite of the three? Or do you think basically the writing was on the wall and you know what was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite of the three. To me, this match was just false finish after false finish after false finish after false finish. And I was just like kind of over that. Earl Durrell was our referee, of course. Rock puts Austin's vest on and fought with Austin's vest on for a while, which was pretty funny. Rock wins after three rock bottoms. And this was Austin's last match, correct?
He spending the night before this in a hospital because he had a heart issue.
That's right. I remember hearing that story.
And it's tough to hear with Austin was always my favorite wrestler growing up. And it was tough to see because you knew he was at the end of his rope with this man because he just burnt out. He's sore. He's hurt. And it's just, he knew when it was time and he wanted to get out when he still could still walk out.
I heard a rumor today that Austin said he feels 100% after his match at WrestleMania. And then He said he'll be at the next one if they want him.
Yeah. But I think he's in that shape now where he's comfortable. I think he's starting to see, like, it goes back to seeing the AJ and Taker cinematic match. And he's seen them that how they could actually do it the right way. And even I'm not saying they're going to have him in a cinematic match, but by any means, but it's interesting to see. So we're going to see Rock beat Austin for this, in this match. Money Mike has a question that involves this match.
Didn't we ban him?
Doesn't surprise me.
No, we didn't ban him.
I think we did.
I don't want to ban the money, man, because there's three people you don't want to fuck with. People that handle your food, people that handle your car, and people that handle your money. Don't fuck with them.
And I ain't letting that son of a bitch handle my money.
Money Mike, by the end of the Top Guy weekend, there will be a story about you because you are going to have the time of your life. You are going to party like a rock star, and you're going to be the Money Mike that you were meant to be at Top Guy weekend.
Yeah, Money Mike, just realize that if you look around and you can't find your mom anywhere, just go knock on my room door.
Or Mark Nelson.
Yeah, or Mark Nelson.
So he he wanted to know, do you believe it took away from The Rock's win here, having him lose to Goldberg the next month at Backlash?
I'll get back to you on that one. I got to watch that match again. I didn't even remember this one. I mean, I remembered it now that I watched it, but I can't tell you now, Money Mike. I can't think about that a month ahead. I'll let you know. What's Money Mike's Twitter? Let's give him a plug.
At dumbass.
Jesus Christ.
I love it.
Oh my God, I swear. Even the dogs love it. Jesus Christ. So he actually, yeah. I'm gonna keep the ball rolling with his next question.
Who let the dogs out?
Well, there you go. They talked. So he says, as fans of baseball, what are your thoughts on WWE's use of baseball parks as venues for wrestling events and pay-per-views?
I like it.
I would, because I know I would have liked them to see. Didn't they run? I know they ran the Royal Rumble at. Didn't they run it at the Houston's ballpark there?
Minute Maid Park.
Didn't they run it? I think the year that Edge came back, they ran it there. I think it was that would have been what 20.
I'm gonna start angling for Vince McMahon to have a WrestleMania at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. How about that?
They don't want to go to loser cities. Anyways.
Wait a minute. Don't the Reds suck? Have they lost 8 or 9 in a row?
They have.
Well, yes. but they traded away their whole damn team, so they can't really fault them for that.
Then. And before I got, and I'm actually going Sunday to watch their ass. I don't know.
Oh, you're going Sunday?
And before I got on here, they were down 3-0 in tonight's game, and they're down 4-1 in the ninth. So make it like 10 in a row that they've lost.
Jesus Christ. You can't, they can't even buy a win.
Hell no. They didn't buy players either.
Yeah. Buyer beware, I guess.
Isn't Skyline Chili a Cincinnati thing?
That is. It's fantastic.
You got to give them some damn Skyline Chili. You got to reach out to them. Skyline Chili, go to the Reds.
they got Skyline Chili at the stadium, so they should be good.
What is Coach? Is he looking at the reflection of his pecker in the mirror or something? He's laughing.
I think so.
He's gotta be.
No, I was gonna add Skyline Chili.
apparently it was funny in his head, and then he just couldn't get it out.
Chili, a plug. I was going to give a plug.
I guess it was funny. Hey, next time you have something roll around in your head, Coach, just let it go.
By the way, we have to thank Eddie the Panther Prather for giving Coach his peacock name.
It doesn't work.
Never mind. We don't have to thank him.
Oh my god damn. I think we're gonna get canceled after this episode.
Eddie didn't pay for his peacock this month. Pay for your cock, Ed.
There's a joke there that I'm just gonna move on because this is
but I've
really
composed
go.
Myself at Skylight.
Y'all go to at Skyline. Y'all go to at Skyline Chili and give them a shout.
Yeah, just tell them to go at Coach Rosie or Coach Rosenbaum or Josh Rosenbaum, or I don't even know the fuck his handle is. But
y'all,
anyways,
if you've never had Skyline Chili, you really need to get.
No, it's really good. It's really good.
I have not. I don't want to step foot in the state or the city of Cincinnati. So
how dare you?
Hey, become the city of future champions.
I'll tell you this. Why don't you bring your ass and the Bills' ass to Cincinnati for the AFC Championship this year, and we'll beat your ass there too.
Well, you actually have to make the playoffs first, pal.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what was the last game you played in Bengals Nation? What was the last game you played?
The fucking Super Bowl.
And the Bills played in?
Who knows? It wasn't the Super Bowl.
They didn't make the championship game, did they?
No, because we beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs beat them. Exactly. Yeah, the Chiefs beat them, and then all the fans cried to get the overtime rules changed because they got beat.
They have to waste a lot of money on some washed-up defender named Von Miller.
Yeah, 6 years for a 35-year-old man.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Von Miller get drafted by your Denver Broncos?
Once you leave us, you're not us.
Not the point there, Chachki.
Von Miller's dead to him.
Yeah, no, he had a great career.
Hey, at Skyline Chili, make sure you block Josh Rosenbaum so he doesn't tweet at you anymore. All right. I don't even know. Did he even have a handle?
I'm going to get Skyline Chili to be a sponsor for this show. If I can get free Skyline, I'm in.
I think it's possible.
If Skyline. Oh, actually, shit, they do. No shit. At Skyline.
Of course they do.
At Skyline _ Chili.
Skyline's big time, baby. We're big time.
I never said
here.
They weren't, but I didn't know they had a fucking handle, though.
Together, at last, it's Skyline time.
Hey, Skyline, reach out to Ringside Rant. They're number 27 on the island of...
of Croatia.
Croatia.
Anyways... we're actually going to watch this next match, the main event of this WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar taking on the WWE champion, everybody's favorite Olympic hero, Kurt Angle. So take your peacock out, head over to WrestleMania 19, season 19, episode 1. Head over to 3 hours, 15 minutes, and 57 seconds. It's a wide shot of Safeco Field. I didn't realize, guys, that this, well, how big this stadium was, how much they packed into the stadium. I'm like, but it's like, okay, it's 54,000. This isn't even the biggest one. We just saw a couple of years ago, we saw what, 70 some thousand from the Astrodome in Houston. So yeah,
well,
it's like, okay. It's
supposedly WrestleMania 3 had like 90,000, they say, which I don't.
Well, I think they multiplied too many times, but anyways.
Pontiac Silverdome, pal.
Good shit, pal. We saw little people get body slammed by King Kong Bundy.
Hey, did either of you guys watch that live? Because I did. I'm not trying to.
I did not.
WrestleMania 3, I was 3 years old.
We were three.
Okay, I was 13.
Coach has got a decade on us.
A prepubescent wrestling superstar.
Anyways, so if you want to head over to, like I said, the 3 hour, 15 minute, 57 second mark, we'll count you down. Coach, do the honor.
All right. In honor of the Wolf Pack. What's up, fellas? We're going to go 3, 2, 1. Play.
Don't turn your back on the Wolf Pack. You might end up in a body bag.
Okay, mine is not working. Anyways, we'll go there. Okay.
I told you Ed Prather messed it up. He messed up mine.
He messed mine up.
Well, we are seeing the Olympic hero himself, Kurt Angle, coming out to all kinds of pyro.
That guy, Colby Covington, coming out to a song in the UFC fight. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Now, did you like this era of Angle, the Team Angle era?
Yeah, I did. I like the red coat he's got on here and the blue tights. He's looking like the man that he is. He is the man.
And look who's the referee in this match.
Oh, is it Baby Hebner again?
Nope. It's Kyoto.
Oh, yeah. My Kyoto.
And Tony Chimble. Where would you rank Tony Chimel as a ring announcer? Well, here comes the pain. Here comes the pain. And no, we're not talking about that lotion that Josh has to put on.
There's a lot of open spacing there, isn't there? In between the seats and stuff there on the ground floor.
Yeah. Look how young he looks, though. Look how young Lesnar looks.
The beast incarnate himself, and he's got those ribs wrapped up.
Yeah, this is
pulling a DDP gimmick here. Okay,
but did it really, was it that necessary though for him?
I don't know. I'm not telling him he can't.
Well, I'm not telling him he can't do anything. Christ, he can, dude, he's fucking eat me.
So this is for the SmackDown belt, which I don't like that belt.
This is the WWE Championship where they would do it. This is the, what you call the, this was kind of like the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship-esque. This is the what Hogan would eventually hold. And yeah, I just, they really built this up as two of the better amateur talents to come into the company, obviously with Lesnar coming from Minnesota, Angle, the Olympic hero coming from Clarion in Pennsylvania. And it's just kind of the build to it where it's not going to be high flying. It's going to be a wrestling match. And that's what we're going to see.
And right now at the beginning, they're just exchanging blows, a lot of headlocks, a lot of shots to the ribs. I mean, this is old school battle right here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got to it yet, but there's a pretty big power slam coming up.
What timestamp do you have, Josh?
My Wi-Fi is down at home and Eddie's bootleg code didn't work, but thank you, Eddie, for the try.
It's worth a shot.
But I took plenty of notes. I was a good student, RJ.
There you go. I no doubt about that. Justin, what do you got for a timestamp?
I'm at 3:19:36.
All right, 39. Okay. 40, 41, 42. Okay. So what did you think how the build was up to this match, Justin? I briefly touched on it when you were out of the room there.
I mean, it was fine. I like these two in the ring together.
Sure.
Obviously, we get the spot where Lesnar almost damn near kills himself in this match.
Correct.
But like here at the beginning of this thing, we're seeing some actual wrestling, which you don't see a lot out of Lesnar, especially these days. But I mean, he's trying to wrestle with Angle, which probably isn't the best choice. But obviously, he's a a pretty skilled amateur wrestler himself.
So this Brad Stanton wanted to know, the night after WrestleMania here, John Cena would be thrown in a WWE title picture. Yet he didn't have a match on this WrestleMania. What is the thinking here with that? Do you think it was just wasn't his time? Do you think they're just trying to see what how this match is going to go? Or
it is kind of odd that he's not on the show.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but
there had to be more to it than it we're leading on.
A lot of the stuff I remember from this match was how much Brock had to do just to get this match. He won the Rumble. Then he went through a bunch of gauntlets and they kept attacking him and this, that, and the other. And he came, when he came out, I was like, damn, this guy survived a lot. He's going to go out and kill this guy.
Right. Now, yeah, so we're going to see. It's just, like I said, it's just Lesnar's just shoulder block after shoulder block being, I guess, a little bit stisky here.
He's selling those ribs, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. As much crap as Lesnar has gotten over the time, he sold, when he needed to sell, he'd sell for you. And I think there's just mutual respect between these guys because of their backgrounds, because you knew this, there's no work with this type of match. This is complete shoot. You know, they have the ability. You can't get a 280-pound man like Lesnar to do half the shit he does in this match. And this is perfect. If you go back and you do, you listen to some of the interviews that Angle has done, some of the stuff he's done on his show, and some of the things he said, he always liked working with the bigger guys because that's how he did, how he worked in the Olympics when he won his gold medal, is he worked with bigger guys in the heavyweight division when he was only probably, what, 230, 240 maybe? He was going to guys that are 250 to 270 or something that had 20 to 40 pounds on them.
Yeah.
This is sports entertainment, pal. It's a whole different ballgame.
Now, who do you think, you know, you get a Lesnar Angle match like this, who do you think is comparable to that nowadays in whatever promotion you're looking at? Do you think it's somebody like a feud like a Lesnar and Roman? Or do you think it would be like somebody like the feud that AJ and Brock had?
Go ahead, Coach.
I'm going to give you an AEW one.
Sure.
Kenny Omega versus Wardlow.
Yeah. We may see that, though. That would be definitely be. So I've always been a big fan of Wardlow. He's a Northeast guy, too. I believe he's out of Ohio, isn't he, Justin?
Shout out to Megan Nelson at Megan Nelson.
He's from Schittsburg. That just changed my whole opinion.
No, is he from Schittsburg?
That's where he wrestles. He's in that Pittsburgh organization.
MCW.
Okay, if that's what it's called, you can call it that. But I know that's Megan's guy.
I thought he, for whatever, I may be thinking of somebody else that was from Ohio then. I don't know. But yeah, it's just
Joe Burrow's from Ohio, right?
That's true.
Fuck him. Who would he ever beat?
I was actually at the high school of Joe Burrow.
Jesus.
Week. Great referee story here. We don't have time on the show, but if there's ever a bonus show, that's a good one.
Joe Burrow?
Uh-oh. Look at this. Lesnar picks Angle up above his head. Gorilla slam or gorilla press.
And it's interesting you say that because this was a controversial match. Because Taz called Lesnar the vanilla gorilla. And he caught a lot of heat because of that statement.
Really? God.
German.
Yeah, terrible one. Right in the turnbuckle.
Into the turnbuckle.
That's like a buckle bomb that, you know, that fucking hurt Sting and what's his face? Finn Balor that Seth always does.
That just shows you how good Angle is, because that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just
God, Lesnar just moved the whole the barricade. Barricade there.
But it's just the psychology. You don't, that's one of the things that I believe is missing in the current wrestling today, is the psychology that you're seeing here with Angle and Lesnar. And you're also seeing, I'll give Mike Chioda credit here too, because he's even selling a lot of this shit as a referee in there. And it's just, you don't see that nowadays, because there's just not enough time. I think that they can take the time to, they got to tell the story. They got to do this build. They got fucking 8 hours. What? 8 hours of TV a week. It's just, you got to figure out time to how to build these stories though. And I think they're starting to do that in the WWE.
People aren't like us that they don't have patience. The internet wrestling community, like kind of what we are.
Sure.
We like that. But the other 90% where they make all their money, they like the quick hitter.
Well, but you're starting to see, I shouldn't say you're not seeing it, but you're starting to see it there in AEW with FTR. You're starting to see it with a lot of that ask type of wrestling. But
yeah, but
for
I'll
the
just
most
say
part,
this. If you listen to Eric Bischoff on Strictly Business and on the show after 83 weeks, he broke it down. Yeah, I love AEW. That's my number one. But they are not making any money. They are not growing their fan base. They have stayed stagnant. So, you know, I really hope that something sparks, because the CM Punk thing was great last year, but where are we now?
Nothing's happened. And stagnant. I don't think this may be, we saw a little bit of it on Dynamite, is this whole title shot he's going to get against what's his face, Hangman Page. So that may be something that will get him to get more fans coming in, and you put the strap on Punk. That might be.
So I can't wait. I'll be in Vegas. I'll be there for Rampage and Double or Nothing. I can't wait for CM Punk to beat Hangman.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, right here on Ringside Rant.
Maybe you did.
Maybe you didn't, because you got your shit internet over there. Maybe Eddie Prather hacked into your internet too.
Oh, sorry, guys.
But no, you're starting to see really Angle putting this freaking choke on Lesnar, bending him back and really selling it. Freaking, what's it? Lesnar's freaking sweating like a fucking greased pig.
Yep.
But it just, he's got that knee in his lower back, wrenching back on his neck, on his throat. Kyoto's asking if he gives up. I'm really digging Kyoto's hair here.
And he is styling.
He is. He's very
and
stylish.
You know what? I dig his show. Monday Mailbag with Mike Kyoto at Africa.
The coach, I think Coach just came on here to promote everyone else's shows.
But in that case, then the real referee that really has great hair is Brian Hebner. You can hear him every Wednesday and wrapping it up at 9 a.m. wherever you can hear great podcasts. It's just, I really miss this feud, because they work so well together, and they complemented each other so well. And a lot of it is like, okay, how much of this shit is real? How much of this shit is a work? Because a lot of it doesn't really look like they're faking shit.
Oh, they're getting
Come
it
on,
in.
Don't be a mark. Don't be a
oh,
mark.
Look at that freaking suplex. So can anybody do a body or belly to belly suplex like that?
Yeah, Bailey. And I wish she'd do one on me.
Oh,
I'll let that one simmer. Even the dogs approve.
The dogs like Bailey.
I love Bailey. I can't wait till you get healthy, Bailey. Come back quick.
Dude, I miss her too. She's so goddamn good.
I'm a Bailey fan myself. I think.
But it took her to become a heel to really get that recognition that she deserves.
Yeah,
I just like her because she was like, oh, look at that. Oh, God, look at that spine buster. Looks like Angle hit his head. Or his neck snapped or something.
That wouldn't have made Arn Anderson proud. That was a little dangerous.
Yeah, that wasn't. That was like a more of a like a Booker T spine buster, the front spine buster. And this look at this fucking crowd. This crowd is not even doing anything. It's like, what? How do they? You think they just don't know what they're watching, or what the fuck's going on?
No, I can speak on that. They sat in an arena or the baseball stadium for 3+ hours. I was sure. Just at Revolution, and at the Adam Cole and Page match, I don't even remember anything. It was all a blur because I was there for 4 hours plus the pre-show. There really is fan fatigue, and they were probably feeling it in this match.
Yeah, because like I said, because this is at our we're about a 3.5 hour mark now.
Right.
Of this pay-per-view, but even that, I don't even think too. Do you think there has anything to do with all the noise going? It basically the stories when you have run arenas like this, ball fields like this, all the sound goes straight up. It doesn't go out, it goes up, and you can't hear shit.
Well, I've been to Safeco. It's a closed top, but it's open around the corners.
Sure.
I mean, you might be right, but I really think they were tired.
No, and it's cold. I don't disagree.
It's cold in Seattle, and it's about 10:30, 3.5 hours. They're tired. Everyone's tired. Just like, let's get it over with. But it was a great match for the guys on TV. For the TV fans, it was great.
Oof. Okay, you got close on that pinfall. Apparently, Justin has a song in his head. He's singing. He doesn't want to get this match.
It's Angle's song I had in my head.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh, here comes the rolling German suplexes.
Yep. Keep that. Yeah.
Yeah,
do you think there's any truth to the stories where Vince only wanted Lesnar or only allowed Lesnar and Angle to do suplexes like this?
Well, you got to keep certain things special for certain guys, I think.
Yeah. Well, I just think people are getting hurt because obviously you wouldn't think that you could get hurt with a fucking German suplex, but you really can if you don't get it, if the person that giving it to you doesn't do it right.
Right.
Oh, is he setting up for the Angle Slam?
I mean, just like that slap dick that hurt Big E a couple weeks ago. I mean, that.
Yeah. Oh, why here comes the F5. Oh, nope. Countered. Oh, into the ankle lock. Now, see, this is the one thing I have an issue with. I get where it's Angle submission hold, but an ankle lock on this kind of guy ain't going to keep him down. It's believability. Do you think that's what it is?
I don't know. I think it would hurt no matter who put it on. Unless you try to slap it on old Yokozuna. I'm not sure that that's...
Well, Bret Hart tried to put the sharpshooter on him, and look how it worked out for him. He got salt in the eyes. Oh, now he's got the single Boston Crab.
And Justin knows what was in the salt that hurt Bret Hart later in life. They paid that, pal.
Cocaine? Cocaine's a lethal drug.
We're not talking about that. Justin and I had an in-depth conversation about that match, and we came to a very interesting conclusion.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
That's where all of, you know, me and Coach Rosie solves all the world's problems when we discuss these things together.
Well, that's why the world's in the fucked up shape that it is, because of you two.
Pessimist.
Yeah.
I think I'm in a good spot. Life's good right now.
Yeah.
We got the best referee in Ohio, best coach in Arizona, and the worst podcaster in Rochester.
He looked a little stiff there. Holy shit. That looked like it hurt his back. With Angle being tossed over the top.
Coach, are you dragging Ed's ass with you to Top Guy Weekend again this year?
No, I am not. He has his big boy pants on. He's going to go to the Tucson airport by himself and manipulate the public transit system and make himself. I'm proud of him.
That's a big word for you, Coach. I'm proud of you.
Dude, I'm a teacher. I don't work for Cintas.
Oh, me and Coach about got kicked out of the Top Guy Weekend hotel at about 3:30 in the morning last year.
Yeah, that's fun. A good time. I vaguely remember it.
Remember what?
We had a little karaoke session of us and Megan Nelson and forget all who everyone was out there, but in the patio area of the hotel, which is like in the middle and like the hotel's all around you.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we were being a little bit loud at about 3:30 in the morning, and Mr. Evan Polisher had to come out and ask us to be a little quieter.
Shut the fuck up.
No, Evan had a velvet touch. He understood that the acoustics were good in that area, but it was 3:30 in the morning, and we had to be up for Kurt Angle that next morning. I think wasn't it Kurt Angle Saturday morning early?
Yeah, I think so.
Was that the same night that we dragged Topon Order Dave's ass upstairs?
Yes.
Oh, so you guys stayed up after that then?
Oh yeah,
dude. Sleep is
Here comes the F5. Boom.
We don't mess around. Hey.
No.
Me and Coach get after it when we're at the Top Guy weekend.
Miss it. Nope.
We ain't no pussy like Pondwater Dave and pass out early.
Well, listen, I think Pondwater Dave got roofied or got the healthy on.
You think do you think Efren roofied Pondwater?
Well, yeah, but Dave still had his pants on though, so.
Well, we don't know who took him back to the room.
Oh yeah,
no,
I do.
We did. The three of us did. It was me, Justin, and Anthony Pyrus.
Yeah.
And we had to take him to the bathroom because he had to piss. And I
picked him up by myself, Rosenbaum, and placed him in his little bed and then put blankets over him.
And he kissed him.
Roommate?
No, he was by himself. His wife didn't come. Have you ever met his wife?
Beautiful lady, Stephanie, one of the best basketball coaches in Mississippi. Actually, she's a great basketball coach.
She is a sweetheart of a person. I guess you would have to be married to Mr. Dave. So, I'm kidding though. But look at this look at his strength, man. He's got a knee bar on him and he's freaking just dragging Angle across the ring to get to the rope break.
Oh, man, he kicked Angle all the way across the ring.
Holy fuck. Just the strength in his legs are just unreal.
So we're about to get to our death spot, ain't we?
No, I think he's going to try. This is when he goes into the...
Two or three minutes, I think.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, I think this is a couple minutes here because he just rolled him up for a near fall. And he's going to angle slam here. Yep. Nope. Counter. Another F5.
Roll up.
I believe Lesnar actually hits three F5s in this match.
Because this is the second one here.
Yeah.
But it's just believability, because I'm pretty sure when Angle talked about this match on his show, he was pretty banged up and he took a little time off here. That's why he relinquished the title. Spoiler alert. Because I believe he had, was he, oh, he broke his neck. Would he ever broke a neck at this time?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure he did.
He had one.
Well, true, but I'm just saying, I think this was, oh, here we go. It's going up top.
Oh, shit.
Do you think he even should have tried this, or do you think he should have just?
Yeah. For one thing, Angle looks very far away.
Yeah.
For a moonsault here.
Shooting star press.
Angle, I think should have been a little bit closer to him.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
God damn.
Every fucking time I watch that, it's just.
I don't know how he kicked out of this pin right here.
I think Angle just mentioned that he was telling him kick out, kick out, kick out. And did you ever see the video after this where they tried to put him in the hotel in the ambulance?
No.
They had him in a collar, like a neck collar, and he's ripping it off, just being belligerent, all that stuff, saying he's not fucking going to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. And this is the third F5 here.
Boom.
It's just unreal. Do you think it's
look
just
how long
the
it
adrenaline?
Look how long it takes Lesnar to get over and pin him.
Yeah. 2 and 3. There's your winner right there, a new champion. But do you think it was just the adrenaline rush that got him all this strength built Probably. Up? Because basically he concussed. I don't think he ended up having a broken neck. He basically severe concussion.
Yeah.
Well, at the end here, Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar get a big hug. I think
and they replace
Brock up.
God.
I'm really surprised he didn't fuck up his shoulder. You know, his right shoulder there that kind of hit first.
He might have.
He's having trouble getting up here, really.
Yeah. Well, he's just grabbing the rope, pulling himself up on the rope. So
you can see a mark on his, you can see the mark on his head, what that hit the ring.
And you just, you can
just
see it.
It's like a big strawberry on his head.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can just see it in his eyes. He's just, nobody's home.
Yeah.
Blood coming out of his nose on top of it.
Yep. He is not in a good way.
But I just think because if it was anybody else than Lesnar, I don't think he would have escaped this with as little injuries as he did, because he is so muscular. He's such in good shape. He has all the mass on there that it probably saved him, mm-hmm. I think. And, you know, Angle's just sitting here. He's, you know, he's about to go out for another surgery. So that's why he's going to be taking a little time off here. But Jess, you know how big of a fan of Angle I am. And it's just, this was anywhere from, like I say, you come in 2001 to 2000, pretty much until he left the company. There was nobody matching his intensity, nobody matching his desire for this company and for this business.
What is it? The three I's?
Three I's. Intensity, integrity and three I's.
I think I don't have any of those three things, probably.
I have at least two of them. I have two of them anyways. Two out of three is not bad.
So what we got, that is it. They're going to shake hands.
Shake hands, hug, and call it a night.
What are we doing next week, RJ?
Next week, we are going to be starting our march to Judgment Day 2006. So next week, we're going to be starting with, so if you want to go over and watch these shows, I strongly suggest you do so to get your questions in at @RingsideRant. We're going to be watching we'll be going over the May 5th, 2006 edition of SmackDown. So we're leading up until Judgment Day at the end of the month, 2006. We'll be watching that with a special guest.
So some stuff for me to watch that I have never seen before.
Exactly. So that's something, like I said, we've done it before, Justin, where we have watch some stuff that you haven't seen before. So I enjoyed it because it's going to be interesting to see your view on things that you haven't seen before. You're going to see wrestling that you haven't seen before. So it'll definitely be fun.
Can you give me one spoiler and tell me what the main event of this pay-per-view was?
Of which pay-per-view?
Of the one
Judgment
that
Day?
Judgment Day.
Don't stump him. He's going to have to go to Google for that one.
I'm not that good at trivia, man.
Put it in your Google machine.
No, it was a SmackDown-only pay-per-view. So keep that in mind. So it's main evented the World Heavyweight Championship. You have your champion. Rey Mysterio is your World Heavyweight Champion. Taking on John Bradshaw Layfield.
Okay. That'll be interesting.
So something that
that's definitely a clash of styles there.
Yes.
Mysterio versus John Layfield.
So that'll be at the end of the month. We're also going to have the Great Khali defeating the Undertaker.
Oh no.
But this is going to be an iconic pay-per-view, Justin, because this is going to be where King Booker became royalty. Where he defeats Bobby Lashley in the King of the Ring finals.
I thought you was going to say King Kong Bundy makes his return again.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I swear to fucking God, don't start that bullshit again. I swear to God, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to edit you out.
I love King Kong Bundy.
Oh, God damn it.
He had the best neck in wrestling. None. I always looked at that guy like, how the heck is his head connected to his shoulders? That guy has no neck.
George Steele was that way too, kind of.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but at least he ate turnbuckles.
So, in speaking of eating things, Coach, thanks so much for coming on this week. I know it's been on our bucket list to have you on. And in some states, we're required to have you on because we have to respect our elders, even though he basically flicks us off at every chance he can get. And he has a busy night ahead of him. I hope Mrs. Coach Rosie will be able to I don't want to disparage a good goddamn name of Coach Rosie or Mrs. Coach Rosie. Excuse me. I can disparage your name. I don't care. But Josh, thank you so much. Is there ways people can get a hold of you? God forbid, if they want to punish themselves and talk,
learn how to read.
Yeah, that too. Well, that too. Or talk words.
Since you brought up the good name of my wife, I'd like to tell her I love her, Lynette. We're coming on 22 years of marriage.
Oh, good for you.
I want to push my family. You don't need to follow me on anything. My son, Ethan, he's the lead in the school play next week, and he's graduating high school in a month. He's going on to Northern Arizona University. My 15-year-old son, Andrew, he played varsity tennis this year, and it was an honor to coach him. He went on to the region tournament and lost in the quarterfinals. Nice. And my 12-year-old daughter, she's a dance star. She just had her dance recital and she's going into eighth grade and things are going great. You don't need to follow me anywhere. Just love your family, be a good person. And if you love wrestling, don't complain. Just enjoy it for what it is. Cause there's a lot of different strokes for a lot of different folks. So,
hey coach, I forgot to tell you, my cousin is actually going to be attending Grand Canyon University this fall.
Well, they'll be about 10 minutes from my house. Anytime they need anything, they can come on over, get a shower, get a 12-pack, whatever they need. It's all set. They can come over here if they need to swim or do anything else. Phoenix is a place to be. It's a beautiful city, and we'll be lucky to have them in our city.
You're rooting for those Suns right now, right?
I haven't even watched the score. This show is so important to me. Basketball second. Really, I don't even have the TV on or nothing. No phone, nothing. This was a real honor to be on Ringside Rant. You know, RJ has put a lot of work into this. He's had over 150 shows, and you know, Justin's come in and really been a great addition to the show. The format's great, and I loved hearing Brad Stanton and Adam from Bama and everybody else. And you guys are really doing a good job of, you know, building a community. We're all top guys at ad-free shows, but you guys do a good job of reaching out to the entire wrestling community by sending a positive message and, you know, really being there for your fans. So it was an honor to be on Ringside Rant.
Thanks, Josh. That means a
lot. It was an honor to have you on, buddy. And we appreciate you taking the time out from your busy sex schedule over there in Phoenix. And...
Well, now see, I you can disparage a good goddamn name of Mrs. Coach.
I didn't say anything about her.
I won't. But it's kind of implied, but fuck, man. But no, hit us up wherever you get great podcasts. I'm a good say your words. I can't read words very well. That's why we got Coach Rosie, but hit us up at castbuy.com/ringside rant. All our links are there for social media, for all our platforms we're on, Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, Wrestling with Johnners, as well as Full Press Coverage. Thank you so much to those three great networks for having us on there. Justin, what words of wisdom do you have to end the show this week?
Just that I'm excited for the NFL draft. See what my returning to the Super Bowl Bengals will pick up to help them get back to the Super Bowl this year. So
I don't know why I ask you things anymore, because it's always going to end up that bullshit. But anyways, continue.
No, that's when is the draft? Next Thursday, right? So we're less than a week away.
28th,
from that.
I believe.
I'm excited for that. And Coach Rezzi's putting on his Lucha Libre mask.
See, that's all he's going to be wearing.
Lucha Libre, Matt. We got our draft pick, Russell Wilson, the best quarterback in the AFC West. Patrick Mahomes, stick it. Derek Carr, stick it.
Justin Herbert.
Morgan, Justin Abair, stick it. It's all about Russell Wilson, Super Bowl, Broncos 2023. Be there and be square.
Oh, I'm really going to hate it when another orange team led by the great Joe Burrow kicks your ass this year.
He's a special, special boy, isn't he?
I wish that this was this was on video for the fans.
I just took a picture.
we're putting that on the Twitter gimmick.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, because the Broncos are going to be the premier team in the AFC. I would say the Broncos against the Bills, but no, I'm going to go Broncos against Bengals.
You know what? I do think your division is probably going to be the best division in football.
I agree, but there's going to be one team that stays home. Well, maybe all three will get the wild card. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're definitely going to be the best in the league.
No doubt.
All right.
So, Justin, appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate you guys being here. We'll see you next week right here on the Ringside Rant in Ranters Nation.